Take two
of episode 101.
Episode 101.
This is our second take.
It is. So I went on an audition
yeah.
a couple of weeks ago, and I do the audition, and I come down to street level, and all of a sudden I see Not the Dentist.
Okay.
Not the Dentist.
Just hanging outside the studio.
He was going to the same audition, which made me feel good because he's an actual working actor.
Now, did they know in the studio that he has experience playing you?
No, I don't know.
I mean, because he has professional experience playing you.
He does.
Yeah.
He does. So anyway, that made me feel good. So anyway, we started talking for a little bit on the street, and some guy came up to us and asked us if we wanted to buy some cuts of meat.
Oh, okay.
Which was the first time that's ever happened.
Sure, okay.
So then,
steaks or like, you know, pieces
any,
of
any kind.
Dog?
No, it was cow.
Okay.
It was cow, but, okay. And so then, Not the Dentist. I had to go up to do the audition, so we said goodbye. And then I walk to the train, and I go 10 feet in the opposite direction, the wrong direction, which I'm usually what I do, and I run into Tony Orbach.
Seriously?
Yes.
Wow.
And he was having coffee with Patrick Blindauer.
Well, that I believe.
So all of a sudden, well, yes.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, in the space of 5 minutes, I saw Not the Dentist, and then I had coffee with Tony Orbach and Patrick Blindauer.
Wow.
Bizarre.
That's pretty cool.
Yes.
Shortly after this all happened, I got a text message from Patrick Blindauer saying, after work today, I just randomly ran into Ryan.
So you've known this whole time.
I have known this.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
So it was very, very cool. And Tony and I almost went to a ball game last week.
Oh, rained out.
It got rained out.
Yeah. And then the Dodgers lost anyway.
So anyway, today on the show, we are going to talk about Panda Magazine.
Indeed.
We have some interesting announcements.
We do have announcements.
And we have an interview with Mike Sullinger. He does all the most awesome things you can possibly imagine. But we'll talk to him later on the show. So here we go with the music. It is Jag on a Hair. So we should start with some announcements.
Sure. We have our first announcement is...
It's a big announcement.
Well, it is. It's like our first big development.
It's a development,
as far as Be More Smarter and Ryan and Brian Do Crosswords and, you know, our industry as an industry.
Yes.
We have,
a
for
logo.
The first time...
Sorry.
We have...
Go ahead.
For the first time...
Go ahead. Sorry. A logo.
We have a logo.
We have a logo. We asked the incredibly talented Patrick Merrill.
Yes, I was going to describe him as illustrious.
He is also illustrious.
Well, I thought that was appropriate since he is an illustrator. See?
Look at that.
See what I'm doing?
Yeah, I do see what you're doing.
Patrick Merrill, brilliant guy, obviously.
Crossword constructor, book author.
He co-hosts the blog at the New York Times.
Maddest artist.
And an illustrator to boot. And
so we asked him, and he said yes, and he designed this fantastic logo.
It's just genius. And we'll show you the logo on the blog, and we're actually going to be setting up a store with Zazzle.
We're going to have...
Right? Is it Zazzle?
Zazzle.
Z-A-Z-Z-L-E. Zazzle.com.
We're going to have shirts for sale.
Yeah.
We're going to have coffee mugs.
And
we're going to have bumper stickers to start out with. And if the clamor is for more different items, we'll put up more different items.
Yeah.
Thank you, Patrick Merrill.
Yeah.
You're awesome. The
you
logo
awesome.
Is awesome, and I think everybody's going to love it. So we're going to unveil it.
Yeah.
You go to the blog right now as you listen to this.
As you listen to this, it's available.
It's available?
That's what I said. It's available.
Because it's unveiled.
It is.
Do you see what you did there?
Yeah, look at that. Yeah. It's sort of, well, you did it with my words.
Yes.
Yeah.
The next announcement, Lollapuzzoola 3.
It is coming up on August 14th.
That is a Saturday in August.
It's happening in Jackson Heights, Queens.
Sign up right now. You go to the Lollapuzzoola. There's a link on the right side of the blog for our Lollapuzzoola 3 page.
Yeah, there's also a link at the top of the blog for that matter. We got links everywhere.
There's a PayPal link. You just click on it. It's $20 for the tournament. It's $25 for the tournament plus Pizza Social.
Yes, the second annual Pizza Social.
Yes.
Featuring Ryan in a straw hat.
I'll wear a straw hat.
Yeah.
I'll chew on some corn.
You don't remember this. You talked
It's homing. Speaking of tournaments, LA Crossword Tournament happened this past weekend.
Yes. I did not compete.
I did not compete either, but Doug Peterson was there.
Yes.
I know Rex Parker was there.
Yes.
Puzzle Girl, Puzzle Sister, Puzzle Aunt,
family,
Puzzle Puzzle Grandmother. Everybody was there. And who won? Who won the LA Crossword Tournament?
Well, you know what? He's an unknown in the crossword community. He only swept the entire East Coast College Tournament Series. Young Mr. Eric Maddie.
Eric Maddie just has it. He has a suitcase. Yeah. And he rolls it around, and he goes to tournaments across the country, and yes, he wins them.
He does.
That's his deal.
Yep.
So I heard it was lots of fun. I know Andrea Carla Michaels and Tyler Hinman did the finals commentary.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sure it was a great time. I wish we could have gone. Viewer mail, opening it up. I just want to say this.
Say
we
it.
Had a lot of viewer mail about episode 100.
We did. Well, episode 100, I mean, we pulled out every trick we knew.
Yeah. People really seemed to like it.
It was
and
a
we
popular
got,
episode.
We got tens, literally tens of emails.
We did get literally.
Saying congratulations and how much you enjoyed the show. Yeah. We're not going to read all of those here.
No, because we're going to read just a few of them.
We take the whole show. So, go ahead.
But our first viewer mail comes from Lori Waltman.
Yes.
And Lori says, congrats on 100 episodes. Just a couple of comments and questions. I'm glad to see that the yodeling pickle has made a comeback this season. I will be sorry to see it go.
Aha! A fan.
Yeah, but she does, agree with the inevitable, which is that it will go. At some
point, it's going to be given away at Lollapuzzoula 3.
It is. Maybe it should be Lollapuzzoula 3, the Great Pickle Giveaway.
Maybe. That sounds good.
That's a good title.
All right.
Lori asks a question. Ryan, is your cat still peeing on your backpack?
No, he is not.
Good answer. Also, she says, you two should seriously think about trying out for The Amazing Race. You would be brilliant at it.
I'd be into that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't really know what The Amazing Race is. You have to run. If it involves running, I'm probably not very good at it.
Well, there are people who of all shapes and sizes who do it.
Yeah, but does it involve running? I really don't like to run.
Some of it involves running, but the prize at the end is $1 million.
Really? How far do you have to run?
It depends. Well, you have to go around the
do you
world.
Have, like,
you go around the world.
I have to
world.
Run? That is amazing.
You don't have to run the whole way.
I can walk some of
but
the way.
But there is some running.
Wow.
And there's no, oh, I'm kind of getting behind, so let's just go home. There's none of that.
Really?
Yes.
Because I'm really good
at
that.
I know, you're good at that.
Yeah. This isn't turning out the way I'd hoped. Forget it.
You would have to not do that.
Really?
Yes.
Can I sub out if things are getting rough?
No,
like, could my wife sit, fill in for me?
No.
No?
No. So we'll think about it. I think this is a definite maybe.
What is?
Us doing The Amazing Race.
How is it a definite maybe?
It's a definite maybe.
With me not understanding what it is and agreeing to nothing.
Right, it's a definite maybe. How is that not a maybe?
I'm flabbered. I'm gasted.
How is that not a maybe?
Okay.
All right. Our next viewer mail is from Agent Little Zooty.
Yeah.
Agent Little Zooty says, I have listened to almost every episode of Fill Me In, and it wasn't until episode 100 that I realized your dialogue was written by David Mamet. That's actually true.
It is. David sends us a script every
and
week.
We just
read it.
Yes.
That's it.
When the dentist and not the dentist recreated those conversations, it sounded just like a Mamet play without the swearing. I was a little embarrassed at how thoroughly entertained I was. Well done, gentlemen. I especially like Ryan's coughing and stuttering and Brian laughing like a girl. Spot on. We should also mention that John Delphin also said that it sounded like a Mamet
play. Yeah, I believe the email from John Delphin had the subject line, be more Mamet.
Yeah, be more Mamet. Yes,
be more Mamet, yeah.
So who knew?
Well, I think that that's great, and that, you know what, is a it's a tribute to the dentist and not the dentist, because actually the instruction we gave to them was to read the scripts like it was a Mamet play.
Yes.
So they did a fantastic job of doing that.
They did.
Genius.
Yes.
Next viewer mail comes to us from Nicole Hirsch, wife of Jared Hirsch, Ryan Hecht doppelganger. Nicole says, thanks for putting me in Puzzle 9. Jared is a little miffed that it wasn't him.
This is your crossword.
Puzzle 9 from the contest of then. The ninth puzzle, I think, was it completest? I think was the entry in the grid, and the clue was Nicole Hirsch for one.
Right.
Something like that.
So our next viewer mail is from Jared Hirsch, Ryan Hecht doppelganger. Jared says, I was pleasantly surprised by the shout-out to Nicole in one of the puzzles, though a bit perturbed that it wasn't me.
Well, you know, it's nice to see that the Hirsches see eye to eye on
it
this.
It is.
They are really in sync with each
they
other.
Are.
That's
they are.
Cute.
That's very nice.
Yeah, that is lovely.
Yes.
Now, they're from California, aren't they?
I believe so, and I think they're.
Did they go to the LA tournament? Were they at the LA crossword tournament? Jared and Nicole.
You know what? I think Nicole was sick.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
I think I read on her Facebook that she was had a fever, or she was throwing up, or
that's no
she
good.
Had a cat stuck in her throat, or something.
Nicole,
like that.
Nicole, we here at Be More Smarter all hope that you are feeling better.
Yes,
definitely. We hope you're feeling better.
Let us know if we can send you something.
Yeah. What can we send you? Well, we have to send you to the Oracle one of these days.
Yes,
we do have to take care of that. Our next viewer mail is from Neville Fogarty, Squishy Defeated. It's a two-part mail. Part one, I just got back from a strip. Wow. Part two. No, part one. I just got back from a trip to South Korea. I saved up about 5 weeks of your podcast for the sole, pun intended, intent of listening to it overseas.
Hey-o.
Now you can say that your podcast has reached South Korea as well as Canada and the Middle East. Forgive me for forgetting where in the Middle East exactly. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Saudi Arabia.
Well, it is Saudi Arabia, but I think he's talking about the fact that we don't know what to call certain parts of the Middle East.
Oh, that's also true, yeah. Yes.
Part two, thanks to your season two story arc, which of course had been we were going to submit puzzles and get accepted into the New York Times.
Yes.
It never happened.
Nope.
Thanks to your season two story arc, I had enough drive to submit a slew of puzzles to the New York Times last season in my own effort to get my first puzzle published. And, much to my delight, I just got one of those puzzles submitted during last season accepted.
Yay!
It'll run on a Thursday in I don't know which month. I think this makes you guys even closer to ARC success, as you were my inspiration, and I thank you for that. I look forward to Thor's thoughts on it.
This is fantastic.
I am so thrilled that Neville has a puzzle coming up in the New York Times in a month to be determined.
I love that some of our listeners, some of our viewers, since listening to our show, have now had puzzles published for the first time. Joanne Sullivan.
And Neville Fogarty soon.
So it's fantastic.
It's wonderful. I'm very excited. Neville, of course, had done a puzzle for us as one of our contests after leaving Lollapuzzoola 2 last year.
Yes.
Remember he did that one on the train that had like numbers in it? And it was...
Yeah. I harassed him to do a puzzle for us.
Well.
A contest, and he did.
And he did.
Yes.
It's great.
So, yes. Viewer mail. Closing it up.
Only it was three snaps.
Wait, what?
You always do four snaps, and that was only three. There's four.
Viewer mail, closing it up?
I'm not sure. Is the bag closed?
I think so. I think it's closed.
All right, let's hope so. Our next segment is about Panda Magazine.
Panda Magazine.
P&A Magazine.
Yes.
Designed by one Fogiferous L. Broom.
Eric Peterson says, I did a bit of research. Broom is indeed Foggy's last name. And Foggy is a nickname.
Yes.
I don't know if you really did know that or just make an educated guess, but nicely done. We did not know that. We were making an educated guess.
I actually did know that.
You did know that.
I actually do know Foggy Broom's real first name.
Oh, you do?
I do.
How do you know that?
I've done some research myself.
Oh.
I'm not going to say it because I don't know him personally.
Yeah,
I don't want to spoil what is anonymity or
is it pea soup?
Intended alias or what?
Pea soup?
Pea soup Broom?
Yeah, pea soup Broom.
Yeah, his middle name is Soup. His first name, you know, is Pierre because he's French.
Pea soup Broom.
Yeah, that's in the, no.
No, because the fog soup. Is as thick as pea soup.
Yes, Foggy Pea Soup Broom. Yeah. No. We're not going to say it, but you know what, Mr. Broom, if you choose to talk with us about anything at any point, we could
have him on the show.
Reveal your name or not reveal your name.
We have bought the last issue of Panda Magazine.
We have.
We have printed it
out. We say last not because it's the last one, but because it's the most recent.
The most recent one.
Okay.
The latest one.
Yeah.
It's the March, April... It's the March, April 2010.
Yeah. What are you giggling about? I don't understand. Where's your microphone, my friend? Where is it?
It's the March...
Okay, too close. Come on.
It's the
you're a professional
issue. That's what I'm looking.
Okay.
That's what I'm thinking. Issue of Panda Magazine. We have bought it. We have printed it out in color, which doesn't really help me very much.
No, nope. It helps me,
especially on page 17,
where
we have Roy G. Biv,
and
I can't tell the Biv from the Boo.
Now, for people who don't know what Panda Magazine is, it is a gargantuan puzzle suite.
Yes,
and it is 20 pages of puzzles of all kinds. I mean, there's word games, there's number games, there's picture games, and for most of it, it doesn't tell you any of the rules.
Right.
You just have to figure out what to do on any given puzzle.
And there's a huge
meta puzzle throughout all of it.
That you have to kind of find.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing is just a grand mystery.
Yes.
So this one, this month's episode is called The Crass Menagerie.
The Crass Menagerie.
The Crass Menagerie.
Right.
And each puzzle has the title is some kind of an animal with some kind of bizarre adjective. Like
Anichophagist crocodile.
The cucurbitaceous rhino.
The troglodytic fly.
The tatterdemalion giraffe.
The hypochondriac crow.
Yeah,
and on.
Yeah, it's insane. And something has happened with the animals in the zoo, I don't know, and you have to figure it out. And there's all this craziness. We have both bought the magazine
and printed
the magazine.
I've clipped it with a nice clip.
I have solved 75% of one of the puzzles.
Yes. I have come up with one answer for one of the puzzles.
Yes, and so our next segment on the show.
Well, here's what I think. Foggy Broom, if you're listening to this and you're up for it, maybe in a month and a half after we've completely done all that we can do on this, maybe we'll have you.
We haven't already done all we can do on this?
Maybe we have. We want to show some effort.
Yeah.
Maybe...
No, I'm going to do more. I you know what? I said in the last episode that I was going to take it with me to Wisconsin and the circus, and I don't know why I didn't know this ahead of time. I had no time to do anything.
Right.
I have been insanely busy for the last week and a half and just haven't had any time to do any puzzling. But I think that I will have a little bit more time, and I'm going to actually buckle down.
I'm
going to
buckle as well.
Okay.
So as I was saying, maybe Foggy, you'd like to be on the show. Maybe we can really get into the how you create these and why you create these.
I think that would be awesome. We would love to have you on the show.
If you're into it, let us know. You have our email.
Great.
The Oracle with Mike Knopfnagel.
Yes.
The Oracle. It's a big show today, so we're just going to have one Oracle answer. The question was, what does Andrew Feist teach?
I thought it was interstellar dynamics.
You did.
Yeah.
The Oracle says, fittingly, Andrew teaches a course called Podcast Nicknames 302, repeating someone's name each time a bit louder and more forcefully.
Oh, we should demonstrate this.
Such as Andrew Feist.
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 Yes. It has two prerequisites. Podcast Nicknames 301, nicknames that take two people to say, and Physics 428, Interstellar Dynamics.
Oh, there you go.
And we have...
Now, what other nicknames do we have that take two people to say?
Andrew Carla Michaels.
Does she have a nickname?
Not yet.
Okay.
And we got direct from Andrew Feist.
Oh, yes.
We have the main transpositional tenets of Interstellar Dynamics, which are...
There are seven of them, by
the
way.
Well, these are the main ones.
These are the seven main transpositional tenets.
One, stars are big. Two, however, the distance from star A to star B is really big. Three, no bigger. Four, just a bit bigger. Five, right there. Six, and so at that distance, you don't really care how big star A is because you can just barely see it. And seven, out of sight, out of mind.
Well, there you go.
This seems like a great class.
I'd like to sign up right now. Andrew, when can new students enroll?
Yes.
And yeah.
And do you only teach it at your college? Where you teach, or do you teach?
Can we do this course? Is this a correspondence course?
Yeah. Can we do it online?
Yeah, I'd love that.
Can we do it by on tape?
Ooh.
What are the different?
Can we do it via the podcast?
Can we?
That would be great if we could study interstellar dynamics via the podcast.
Can you? Yes. Send us your latest lecture, and we'll somehow incorporate it into the podcast.
We will.
We're looking forward to that.
Awesome. Our next segment on the show is an interview with a fellow by the name of Mike Selinker.
Who is brilliant.
Just a fascinating puzzle maker, game master, everything genius. He's coming up right now.
So today on the show we have Mike Selinker, a brilliant game designer, puzzle maker, puzzle master, a renaissance man of the puzzle world. Hello, Mike.
Why am I not a game master?
And you're a game...
Like, you used all the possible combinations of those.
You know what I did? But I like to save some for later.
Okay. All right. Well, there you go. Well, it's a pleasure to be on what I'm sure will be a highly entertaining podcast.
Start off by just giving us a brief history. How did you get into puzzles?
Well, I started like everybody else. I learned to read.
Very good.
I learned to use a system of numbers that comes from the Arabic sources. And somehow that combined to I can do stuff with that a certain percentage of the population can't. So around age, I don't know, 13, I think, I sent my first puzzle into Games, and they foolishly printed it, and we were off to the races.
Do you remember what that puzzle was?
Yeah, it was an acrostic where all the words, all the answer words, and all the clue words were six letters long. And the theme was all about the number six. The quote was all about the number six as well. So there's a lot of sixes going on, and I just thought that was how puzzles are done. You know, you just make crazy constraints upon yourself that you should never have to deal with. And Games encouraged me in that direction, despite constantly saying things like, you know, if you just made this easier on yourself, it might go easier. And I would say, why would I do that? And we went from there. So it continued from there. You know, the standard route, New York Times, all that stuff. I also put myself through college as a game designer and puzzle designer, and then continued with doing so as a career on the side while I was a very serious investigative reporter in Chicago, and then decided that at age 27 I should retire and go to be a full-time puzzle and game designer, where I have been as since that point. So that is the brief history of Selinker.
Talk to us, if you would, about this Wired magazine. We have a copy of it here. We've looked at it, and it was fascinating. We were not able to solve it as brilliantly as some, but tell us how that came together and what that was like.
We're talking about the May issue from last year?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so J.J. Abrams is a talented movie and TV producer, and Wired contacted him about becoming one of their guest editors. They do this every now and then. They did a brilliant issue with Rem Koolhaas, the architect. That's one of my favorite issues of anything ever. And so when they called us and said, we want you to work with us and Abrams' team to completely permeate an issue with puzzles and games, we jumped at the chance. And so we brought in a lot of our friends. Will Shortz contributed a puzzle, and Wei Wa Wang and Dan Katz and lots of other great puzzlers. And they also had a stunning request, which is they basically said, do you know Martin Gardner? And I said, no. They said, well, do. And so I called up Martin Gardner, because he has no email account, and I said, will you write a puzzle for me? And he's 95 and said yes. Now, when I get to be 95, I just want to be 95. I'm not going to be making puzzles. If you're planning on seeing the puzzles I make at 95, that's not a good life plan for you. But Martin said, sure, and we dealt with it over the phone. We came up with some crazy toothpick stuff. And, of course, we hit a giant meta puzzle, one of the larger meta puzzles we've ever done. So we did, in the May issue this year, we did some puzzles for the Lost finale. Yes, and in fact, they're nice and hidden, and I have seen partial solutions on the internet, but I have not seen a complete solution, and I'm surprised by this. Now, of course, your listeners, I understand, are somehow a good puzzle solvers. I would love to see one of your listeners actually solve that thing first. And it contains valuable information about the finale, but
really?
not what I would describe as spoilers. Just it'll make you appreciate it better.
And this is the current issue of Wired.
Yeah, it's the May issue, so I think that's still the current issue. It's got Bill Gates and Mark Zuckerman on the cover, and it's a lost 8-page section in the middle, which we were pleased to help out with again.
Wow. When you say we and you say us, now who are you talking about?
I'm sorry. I should have started with that. So I started a company in 2003 called Lone Shark Games, which is sort of a repository for me being able to work with whoever I want. And the creative director is named Taylin Woodruff. She's a very good puzzle designer in her own right. One of my closest friends is a guy named Mark Gottlieb. Mark is a former editor of Games Magazine who works at Wizards of the Coast, which is the company I used to work at. And he's a brilliant puzzle maker and a very, very good puzzle editor, one of the best. And so he helps. James Vernest is my primary game co-designer. So he's the guy behind Cheap Ass Games. And then pretty much everybody who's sort of a shark by association, right? There's lots of people who've done a couple of projects here and there for us, and we find them to be incredibly valuable to helping us think things through. Like we're doing one thing right now that involves six people trying to design a meta puzzle, which is, you know, it's kind of hard, but getting everybody's opinions is really helpful.
Now, you mentioned something about a national manhunt.
Yeah. So Wired Richard came to us last year after the mystery issue and said, one of our reporters is missing. So a fellow named Evan Ratliff, who's a good friend of mine now, decided that he wanted to do a story about a national trend of people deciding to fake their own deaths, which was a stunning national trend I was unaware of. And so when people do that to get out of things like obligations, whether they're personal or financial, and other people track them down. So Evan wanted to find out how hard that was in the modern era, so he disappeared. And we built a national manhunt. We basically challenged the entire internet to find him somewhere in America. And so he kept moving, changing his hairstyle and eye color and all sorts of things. We kept posting clues to where we thought he was. And people eventually tracked him down using a pizza parlor sting in New Orleans 25 days into his run, which made it very sad because that meant he was out $3,000 and somebody else had won the money that he was supposed to get.
So a couple other things that are going on with you. Will Wheaton's Woodstock Festival.
Yep. Well, so... Will and I have known each other for a little while. We go to a convention called PAX, the Penny Arcade Expo in Seattle, which is a massive nerd fest. I mean, 75,000 people who come and just play video games and hang out. There's like a lounge of where everybody just gets a Nintendo DS and sits on beanbags and plays all day. Like, that's the vibe of the place. And so Will and I have been going there for a while, and so we got to know each other. And he's put together this tour called Woodstock. And Woodstock is a great concept. The concept is that all the nerds need somewhere to get together and celebrate their own nerdness. So it's a sort of Lollapalooza of geekdom. And so the people involved are him, the singing duo Pollen Storm, and Adam Savage, who is on Mythbusters. He blows stuff up for a living. And so the four of them put this together, and they basically called up the people that they liked in various cities and said, we want you to come on stage and do something cool. And in my case, they called up and said, and we wanted to have a puzzle in it. And I was like, okay, you want me to have a puzzle? Sure, no problem. And they said, but we wanted to have a puzzle that that affects every city that the tour goes on. Well, there's just these four cities to start. So just these four cities. So in Seattle, Portland, Chicago, and Minneapolis, my design partner, James Ernest, and I will be visible to the audience doing a puzzle thing. And we encourage people to tweet the results when they're in the thing. When they're in the performance, and we'll have a web page where the previous videos of the night before's performance was, and somehow it will end up into somebody solving it and getting an answer. I'm pretty sure that's as specific as I'm going to be.
I guess we have a couple other things. Then we're going to have to wrap this up. This is also unbelievably fascinating.
Oh, hey, let me tell you about one other thing. So the new issue of Games World of Puzzles. I want to pimp for a second. I have a regular feature which has become decidedly less regular. The Lieutenant No Dumbo mysteries that I do, and I once again blew my deadline on it. And so I decided to fill in by asking my friend Ariel, who is a world-class master chef, to give me 5 recipes, and I destroyed them. I took the recipe, all the important nouns out, and I put them into crossword puzzle grids. And so we created something called the Crossword Puzzle Cookbook, or the Crossword Cookbook, in this coming issue. And it is the yummiest crossword puzzle section you will ever solve. I mean, your mind will be blown about how these cool words become such really tasty things. So I encourage everybody to get that and then make all the recipes in there, because it is good stuff.
Well, thank you, Mike, so much for being on. You are
happily
incredibly fascinating. Is there a new game coming out for Loan Shark Games that we should purchase?
A new game about building Las Vegas, which has gone through a bunch of name changes, so I have to make sure I get it right. It's called Lords of Vegas, and building Vegas from the ground up. And it is a really fun game. We debuted it at the Gamma Trade show just a couple weeks ago, and it got rave reviews. So, yeah, we're real proud of that. That's going to come out this summer from Mayfair Games, which is the company that makes Settlers of Catan and games like that. And we're really excited about that. So, yeah, thanks for asking. That's one that we're really proud of.
All right, Mike. Well, again, thanks for being on.
No problem.
And I'm going to clap my hands again, and that will be the end of the official interview.
Oh, my gosh.
So we were right.
I was right.
He is
brilliant.
A brilliant
amazing
puzzle maker.
Astounding.
International manhunts? National manhunts?
It's unbelievable.
I still am not sure I understand that.
I am not sure that he's not J.J. Abrams.
He could be.
He might be.
He knows how Lost ends.
He does, and that... Well,
let's talk about the contest of then.
All right, the contest of
was
then.
Was created by you.
Yes, I created the contest.
And everybody loved it.
Now, I do want to say, I will say this, and I'm not trying to just, pat myself on the back, but it was created by me with the help of some great test solvers, Patrick Blindauer, Doug Peterson, and Mike Nothnagel.
We had at least one person say, who actually created these puzzles?
That's the reason I say that, is right. Because we did get emails from people saying, who made these?
And it was you.
And it was. It
100%.
Was. It was an idea that I came up with some time ago. I thought, I'd really like to do some big contest event for episode 100.
And you did it.
And so I did it.
And it was
and
brilliant.
Somehow I discovered that there was a 100-letter answer, and I just needed to come up with the game that set up
and
that answer.
What is the 100-letter answer?
Well, in this contest of then, we had 10 puzzles. And yes. In the 10 puzzles, if you put them in order, mm-hmm. there were letters circled.
Right.
And if you spelled out all the letters that were circled, it said one listener has a 100-letter nickname.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it?
Yes.
And the answer is mother of Dan Fayer, winner of the C division, winner of the B division, winner of Lollapuzzoola 2, winner of the A division.
Which is exactly 100 letters long.
Exactly 100 letters
you
long.
You planned that from the beginning.
It's
You've been
amazing.
In cahoots with Dan since
true.
The beginning.
And everybody. The whole ACPT. Like, yeah. I've been behind this long before you ever came into the picture. Absolutely.
So it's
no,
brilliant.
Discovering that, you know what I started to do? I was going to make just some grand Filmian-themed
uh-huh.
crossword puzzle, and so I just started making a list of everybody's nicknames, everybody we'd ever talked about on the show, and then I did, letter counts of all of these to see what they were, and when I saw that one was 100 letters, I just thought, wow, this has to be the
this
answer.
This is what it is.
Yeah. So it was very cool. We had the easy version and we had the hard version.
Right.
The easy version just had 10 puzzles and it had them in order and showed you what to do. And then the hard version, of course, had all of the clues just in two pages,
mm-hmm.
not associated with any particular puzzle. And then all of the grids and no instructions.
Right.
But a number of people solved the challenge edition, which mm-hmm. I thought was very cool.
Because you got a picture from Eric Peterson of he cut out everything
and
arranged it all together.
Yep, can we
post on the blog the answer sheet?
Yes, I will post with this podcast. I'll have the answers for the people who were right. struggling with it.
Okay, so the prize for this contest then is either
it's either free entry to Lollapuzzoola 3 and the Pizza Social, or two crossword puzzle books
of your. Well, not of your choice, but
of your choice. You know, we'll get whatever it is that you're looking
for.
But
you should really pick the Lollapuzzoola thing, because that means that then you have to go.
Yeah.
That's the better prize.
And also, we can provide that to you for free very easily, and providing you with books is a little bit more complicated.
Yes. All right, so here we go. The winner of the contest of then. Yes. The Yodeling Pickle. Lori Woltman, this is for you.
My teeth are grinding.
And the winner is...
Jared Hirsch.
Jared Hirsch, Ryan Hecht doppelganger.
Jared Hirsch, you have won the contest of then, and now I do believe that you are a West Coaster, but if you feel like coming to New York in August, the 14th of August, which is a Saturday in August... we will not pay your airfare.
No, we will not
pay your hotel.
No.
We will, however, invite you to Lollapuzzoola 3 free of charge.
Yes, and the Pizza Social.
You will be an honored guest. If you bring your wife, though, she has to pay.
She does.
I'm sorry. Only one winner per contest.
We're not a real expensive operation here.
No.
We don't have a lot of funding.
No.
Yes. The Contest of Now by Peter Gordon.
By Peter Gordon. Septuple threat.
His contest is...
What word were you about to say instead of septuples? It started with a T.
Strup-tuple?
That sounds like one of the cats from Cats. Strup-tuple. Along with Mr. Mistopheles.
All right, so what ad slogan with enumeration 6, 4, 7, 3, 7... has the letters LMNOPQRSTU and some other letters. Oh, and if you need the
if you need the contest email to you, if you're walking your turtle like William Sides. Oh wait, that's
no,
not
that's
right.
not it.
Damn it. Then anyway, this week's password
is Pinochle.
I don't remember.
Is it Pinochle?
Oh, this week's password is Pinochle.
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 Pinochle. Look on the horizon, it's a thunder gun. He's staying far away. Here we go.
Monday, April 26th by Lynn Lemple, Playing with Fire. We had a whole bunch of words that had to do with fire, light, heat, flame, smoke, stake, yokel, coet. What?
What is glame?
I think it's flame.
Why is that flame? Why is it glame?
I think it's a typo.
Oh, typo.
David Mamet sent us a faulty script.
David Mamet. Tuesday, April 27th by 8.5-year-old Oliver Hill. This was fun. This was Switchblade. Yeah. All of the theme answers had the word blade anagram. So yeah. The answers were switched about.
Lotub and...
Flubnub.
Adbull.
And Glibnub.
And Wednesday, April 28th by Andrea Carla Michaels.
And who does she not have a nickname? Does she have a nickname?
And who with her not out with?
Not yet.
Okay. Peter L. Stein also collaborated on this puzzle. This was Spout.
S-P-Out. S-P-Out.
Took actual phrases and removed S-P and made them clever. That's pretty much what happened. You know, she had done an S-P-In puzzle previously.
Or Spin.
Yeah, Spin and Spout.
Yes.
What else is there?
Between?
I don't know.
Between?
First she spins, then she spouts, then she does the spokey pokey, and she spanks them all about.
Thursday, April 29th, by David J. W. Simpson. David J. W. Simpson. This was a self-referential theme.
Okay.
Self-referential. The theme was spread out over three answers. Each answer has an odd number of letters.
Yes, that
and that's true.
Yes, it was.
Every answer has an odd number of letters.
And you know what? I my honest reaction to this, who cares?
I'll tell you who cares.
Who?
Me. And
okay.
You know why?
Why?
Because if you have an odd number of letters, you can't have NLer or ALer in the grid.
Well, that's true. Friday, April 30th by Natan Last. This puzzle had NLer in it.
Yes.
And damn you, Natan Last, for not cluing it as fictional lyric soprano Rosanna.
It's very irritating.
What is the matter with you?
You know who's most upset about this?
Me!
And Rosanna Nyeller.
That's true. Rosanna is pretty upset. She called us here at the studio.
She called us from her office at the Met.
Yeah, and she had just solved the puzzle.
Right.
And she said, "What gives, fellas?" That's what she said. "What gives, fellas?" But this puzzle, other than Nyeller,
was great.
Was awesome. It had true daily double. It had the hidden ball trick. which, out of context, sounds gross, but it's actually a baseball thing.
The Green Lantern?
Yeah, it was just, there was a lot of fantastic fill.
Lots of fun.
What I really like about this, and I've noticed it before in Puzzles by Natan Last, is that I really sense a personality to both the cluing and the entries.
Yes.
That it's not just a puzzle, it's not just a themeless that could have come out of Crossword Compiler. It's not just a bunch of stuff that... Oh, this fits. Let me make it.
It's
the grid.
It's like he's excited to get these things in the grid.
Yeah, you know, this is a real construction job, and I applaud that.
Lots of fun. Saturday, May 1st, by Paula Gamache, bearer of bad news.
This puzzle was bad news.
I don't
seriously,
like it.
Man breasts.
Man breasts. And the fact, you know, if man breasts is a fine enough entry, I guess, but to clue it as unmacho feature, it just. I don't know. It's just kind of insulting.
I mean, I'm sure that a macho feature is like, you know, nice carved pecs, but...
But so, I would like to see what the outrage would be if there was a equivalent clue and answer written by a male constructor about
a woman.
An unpleasant feature of a woman's anatomy.
Okay.
I think there would be outrage.
Men who have what are considered man breasts are probably not proud of them.
No.
No. And just as, you know, and anybody who is finds something at fault about themselves physically is not happy about that.
And certainly don't want to see it in their puzzle.
No. So I don't know. I find that's kind of, you know what, it's lame. It's just lame.
Lame.
And Paula Gamache is an experienced constructor. She has made many, many puzzles in the New York Times and elsewhere. I think this is inappropriate.
Inappropriate. I agree.
Sunday, May 2nd by Kelsey Blakely. This, you took existing things, or in a couple of cases, I think not so existing things, and added T-I-O-N to the end of them and broke the buzzer.
I've dropped the pickle.
Add T-I-O-N to the end of stuff and make a new word. But you know what? What the hell's a contraviola?
I believe it's some sort of a thing on an organ.
A thing on an organ is a contraviola.
On a church organ.
A thing on an
Somebody
organ.
Somebody enlighten us. There are organ players.
Harry Hassel, what's a contraviola, and does your wife play one? I mean, she's a cellist. Isn't a contra just means like lower than normal? And
I don't think it's an
actual viola.
I don't think it's a viola. I don't think it's a viola.
But a viola is like a bigger violin with the lower sound.
I understand what a viola is.
Like an alto and a contra alto is like somebody who sings lower than alto.
I don't think a contra viola is an instrument.
I think it's lower than a viola.
Well, that's a fine thing to think, but I think you're wrong.
And Harry Hassel's wife plays the cello, and that's lower than a viola. I think a cello is a contraviola.
I'm confused about something else.
I don't actually think any of this. I'm just being a jerk.